Well, it's a pleasure to be able to share in the Word this morning, this Lord's Day morning. I want you to turn, please, to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah in our Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and then the book of Jonah. The little book of Jonah. And we're going to turn to chapter 1, a few various verses this morning as we look through God's Word today. My subject this morning is coming out of lockdown. Coming out of lockdown. And I want to read this morning from the book of Jonah for consideration. Let's just come before the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks this morning for your word. Thank you that we have it this morning in our mother tongue. We do give thanks for the freedom and the liberty that we have of looking at it and studying it. In this way, thank you for the technology that we have even this morning as it goes out online. And we do pray for your help and your blessing this morning, O God, as we dig into the scriptures today. We pray that those pages would shine before us and that you would give us the finest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah chapter 1 and a few various verses. Verse 1, Jonah 1 and 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. And he went to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the words that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call unto thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Look down at verse 15. So of course, we know the story of how Jonah is thrown overboard and the great fish comes. And verse 15 says, So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased to raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered the sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days. And 3 nights then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Look at verse 9 then of chapter 2. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah unto the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, and he said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least. Verse 10, And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did not. And the Lord will bless to us the reading of his inspired word this morning. In a recent survey that I read lately in the Belfast Telegraph one morning, it said this, that only 9% of people would want life to go back to normal after the COVID-19 crisis. That means that 91% of us want change. If there's one thing that COVID-19 has taught us, it is give us time to reflect on life. It has give us time to reflect on life and its pace. It's give us more time back to the family. I have been talking to so many who have told me of how family time seems to have come back again. sitting around simple things like sitting around the dinner table at night, eating dinner together again. Many of us, unfortunately, myself included, at some times treat our houses like hotels. We just go in and we get our dinner and then we go out again and then we go back and we get into bed and we get up the next morning and the pace of life seems to increase the older you get. And so this family time has come back, people say, the dinner time together, reading books again. People have begun to read again. Simple things like jigsaws. So many people have told me about setting out jigsaws on the table, the dining room tables and so on, and doing them like that. Family movie nights on Netflix, board games, so many different things seem to have come back again. It's all good, people spending time together. But I wonder, as we think about that and reflect on it, I wonder this morning about our spiritual welfare. I wonder what lockdown has done for us there. Have we spent time in God's word? Have we spent time in prayer? Have we spent time studying and reading this great book that God has given to us? Jonah was a mighty prophet. He was chosen by God to go and to preach in the city of Nineveh. This great book reminds us of three things. It reminds us of a wind, a whale, and a worm. A wind, a whale, and a worm. Our former pastor, who I'm so indebted to for many years, sitting under his teaching, reminded us of this when we come to the book of Jonah. It's not about a man in a fish's belly, but a man in the heart of God, our dear brother, Dennis Lyle. And of course, in his journey through the Bible, that we enjoyed immensely as we sat under his ministry, we did, of course, study the book of Jonah. I'm not about a man in a fish's belly, but a man in the heart of God. Chapter 1 reminds us how the word of the Lord came to Jonah and how he told him to go to Nineveh. Instead, Jonah heads the other road. He heads for Joppa, and he gets onto a boat, and he heads for Tarshish. And he was going the wrong way. And so when you go the wrong way from God, you must pay your own fare. When you go with God, he'll pay your fare. He'll look after you. But when you go the wrong way, well, then you have to pay your own fare. And what a fare that Jonah had to pay. He ran away from God, or so he thought. And maybe this morning your heart is far away from God. Maybe this COVID-19 crisis has filled you with fear. And so maybe you're further away from God instead of being closer to him. Maybe your heart is full of fear and panic and worry in life for you and for your partner in life and for your family, for your children and for your grandchildren and so on. And like Jonah, perhaps it's just a wee bit like Jonah, you've got into the bottom of the boat, as it were, and Jonah on this occasion, he heads down the deck and gets down the gangplank and he heads into the bottom of the boat and he pulls a cover over his head and he begins to sleep. And there's a great storm raging around him. And each of us have been in the storm in the days that are past, the COVID-19 storm, and maybe you've tried to ignore it, maybe you've tried to pull the cover over your head, as it were, like Jonah. And so we know of how the sea master came down, the captain of the ship came down, he wakens Jonah, he says, what are you doing sleeping? He says, you're sleeping in the middle. What doest thou, O sleeper? He says, get up. And so Jonah got up, and you remember the story of how the lots were cast. And it fell upon Jonah, and in verse 15, Jonah ended up in the sea. The guys done their best. They tried to row against the storm. Maybe they tried to change the sails in a particular way. Maybe they tried to get their wind on their back to keep traveling, even though it was the wrong road, and they'd done everything. But the more they'd done, the storm seemed to increase. A man against the will of God, you see. And so here's Jonah, and he's sleeping, and they're waking him, and he's up on the deck, and the situation's getting worse, and Jonah realizes, you know, it's all about me here. This is my fault now. God has told me to go to Nineveh. And here I'm on the boat to Tarshish. And Jonah pleads with the men to throw him overboard. And they do all in their might, but to no avail. And Jonah goes over. You'll notice verse 15, so they took up Jonah. They cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased her raging. You know, I believe that Jonah was hardly wet until the storm ceased. They took him, maybe four men, maybe two by the feet, two by the arms, one, two, three, over he went. As soon as he hit the sea ceased its raging. You see, we have the God of the immediately. God of the immediately. Do you remember Naaman? 2 Kings chapter 5, he goes down to the river to Jordan, like Elisha told him. And he grumbled and he mumbled the whole way down. And he got down to the Jordan and he says seven times. And Jonah's, Naaman's in and out of the river. One, two, three, four, five. He's getting fed up now. Six. But Elisha, the man of God, had said seven times. And the seventh time he went into the river Jordan, immediately, his skin, the leprosy came from his skin. And it was like a newborn baby. And here immediately again, Jonah, he hits the water. And immediately, the sea ceases raging. The God of the right away. When the Lord Jesus healed the blind man, when he touched his eyes, immediately he received his sight. When he healed the deaf, when he touched their ears, immediately they heard. When the leper came and he had been cast out and he had been a downcast of society for so long, and Jesus touched him. And immediately, his leprosy was healed. This fish, God had prepared a fish. And Jonah now, he hits the water. The storm ceases and he's going down now. He's going down, 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 down. God has prepared a great fish. And God, this great fish comes and he opens that large mouth and he swallows Jonah whole. He has Jonah for breakfast. Maybe he's had better breakfast, as I don't know, but he has Jonah for breakfast. And here he is and he's sitting in the fish's belly. And he's locked down. He's locked down. Imagine it. The smell. Imagine the stench. Imagine the situation he's in. He's trapped. He can't get out. He's in lockdown. There's not much he can do now. No, nothing he can do. Only pray. But then it's not only pray. I wonder, does that sound familiar to you this morning? I wonder, does that sound familiar to me this morning? You can do nothing about it. Only pray. I've heard that at times. People, by talking to people, and there's something wrong within the family, there's a situation, and they say, well, we can do nothing, only pray about it. And I know what they mean, you know. But should this not be our first port of call anyway? There's a situation that arises in life and we try to do this, we try to work our way around it, and then we try to talk to others about it, and we try to do A and B and C, and it's not working, and then we pray. The troubles and the trials of life. That old hymn writer said it so right. He said, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust alone. And oftentimes we trust alone. And oftentimes the arm of flesh fails us time and time again. And here's Jonah, and he's locked down, and he's in the fish's belly, and it's not pleasant, and the smell is smelly and it's damp. And he can see, as well as himself, what this old whale had had for breakfast, and it wasn't nice. And one thing Jonah has now, just at the minute, is he has plenty of time. He has been running away from God, and now God has stopped him in his tracks. He's locked him in, he's locked him down, and he's plenty of time. And you see, we live in days where there's no time. Our lives are governed by the clock, and we have laptops and all these different diaries and mechanisms to try and sort all our times out, the half hours here and hours there. We're against the clock. And time's going on. And here's this man, and he's locked down, and there's plenty of time to think. And then he begins to pray. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. I want to think about this prayer for a moment or two. I want to think first of all about the moment of the prayer. He prays out of the fish's belly. He's just been swallowed up. And 3 days and three nights he's here. And I don't know when exactly. It seems to be that perhaps he was sitting and perhaps he was sulking. He was good at sulking. You can see that in the next chapter or two. And it took him a wee while to get the temper down. And then out this moment come and he begins to pray. Isn't it amazing that we can pray anywhere, by the way? Here's a man, he's praying out of the belly of a fish. Amazing, isn't it? Where do you pray? I do a lot of praying when I'm driving. Don't close my eyes, of course, but I do pray when I'm driving. As I drive along the road on the motorway, I do travel a fair wee bit with my job up and down the motorway and so on. And when the phone's not ringing, and there's nothing much on the radio to listen to anyway. And so sometimes I begin to pray and pray for my neighbours and pray for the church and those that are in it and those that need our prayers just in a special way. And here's Jonah, and he begins to pray out of the fish's belly. Isn't it amazing that when you're in situations like Jonah's in, that's when you begin to pray? When you need God most and all human help is gone, that's when you begin to pray. Long time ago now, 21, 22, 23 years ago, I remember we were in Spain, in Mallorca. It was just Beverly and myself, and Louise was just a wee girl. She was only maybe 18 months or two. And we were on holidays, and Beverly took ill. And she ended up in the hospital. And here was me in a hotel in a strange country. We're going back 22 years. Mobile phones and so on weren't as many about as they were now. And you're just dependent. You're there. There's a different language. It's a different culture. There's nobody can understand you. Just like moments like that, you just really depend on God. I remember just in that particular situation in life, just drawn very close to God. In the time since, and I'm sure you're the same. You can think of situations in your life and all human help and hope, and there wasn't many to help you, and there wasn't many to comfort you. Maybe you've just been in a situation like that too, and it's just at times like that, when you draw near, that you feel the closeness and the nearness of God in situations like that. And here's Jonah now, and he's drawn near to God. He's in the fish's belly, and he's drawn near the moment of the prayer. Look at the motive. The motive in the prayer, verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, Lord, into the middle of the sea, the midst of the sea, and the floods have compassed me, and all thy billows and thy waves are passed over me. And here he realizes that he's in the depth of despair. He says this, he says, you've cast me into the deep, into the middle of the sea. He says, your waves and your billows, your floods, your billows have gone over me. He really realizes here how far he's down. He realizes as he's locked down, he's locked in. Does it sound familiar? In the days, the weeks that are past, we've had time to think. We've been locked in, we've been locked down. And then these great waves and floods of guilt and grief have come over Jonah. What similar language is used as the psalmist writes in Psalm 42 and verse 7, that great verse, as he points to the cross and that messianic psalm, he says this. He says, all thy waves deep, calleth on the deep, at the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and billows are gone over me. It points us to Calvary, to those hours of darkness upon the cross when the Saviour cried from his holy soul, all your waves, O God, and all your billows, O God, they've gone over me. And in the depths of the waters of Calvary, Christ bore the great price of our sin. I wonder, would we look to the cross this morning? I wonder, as we begin to come out of lockdown, I wonder, are our hearts refreshed? I wonder, are our hearts rejuvenated for the things of God, for the things, the services, the fellowship of this church and our church family, and the great institutions that we have within our assembly? And more than anything, what I'm thinking about just now is the table of remembrance. I have a great burden in my heart and my mind, and as I looked at this on 3 and 4 and 5 occasions, time after time, I couldn't get away from it. And I have a great burden in my heart, and I know that the elders and the deacons and the assembly feel the same, that the people of God, as we meet around this table on a Sunday morning, and so many of us, so many get up and they leave the Lord's table after the ministry and we sing a hymn or a few verses of a hymn, 50% leave. And there's a great burden in my heart as we begin to come back after lockdown, and I pray to God Almighty that the people of God would have a burning in their heart to remember the Lord Jesus, the one who remembered us, the one who bore the cross for us, the man who left heaven, took upon him the form of a servant, human flesh, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross, 6 hours upon the cross, 3 in light, 3 in darkness, and in the darkness he cries, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. So that we might not burn and burn in hell, on the flames of hell forever. And yet it seems some of us can't give him 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. And Jesus saying, this do in remembrance of me. The moment of the prayer. The motive in the prayer. Look at the might of the prayer. Because in verse 9, chapter 2, it says this, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah realizes that there's only one can help him. And he realizes that if he wants salvation, if he wants out of this lockdown, if he wants out of this dire, dreadful situation, it's going to be God and no one else. And so he cries from his soul, salvation is of the Lord. We preach it in the gospel, and rightly so. You know, he needs to take the humble place. And he's took it now. And he realizes salvation's of the Lord. And you know, if we ever want to achieve anything in this church, in our gospel services, on our mission, and in the ministry, to the children, to the young people, to the middle-aged people, to the old people, we need to take the humble place, and we need to realize now, salvation is truly of the Lord, no one else. Everett Smith, my dear friend, and I take missions together all the time. And you know, we don't parade ourselves. We try not to parade ourselves because there's nothing to parade anyway. And we just have to take the humble place. And we just have to sow the seed. And maybe your way of sowing the seed isn't on a gospel platform. Maybe you sit in front of the kids on a Sunday afternoon in a Sunday school class. Or maybe you sit in the JYC or the BYF or the old people, the silver threads. Maybe it's a one-to-one witness. Maybe it's a neighbour, a friend. Maybe you can't get them out of church. But maybe you go around and you boil the kettle and you make the coffee and so on. Spend a wee bit of time. You see, salvation is of the Lord. And we can preach and plead and pray and everything else. But it's his work. Salvation is of the Lord. Look at the might in this prayer. Such is the might of this prayer. Such is the sincerity of this man's heart. He calls out to God from the belly of the fish from lockdown. He says, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. Verse 10. And God, before Jonah had the prayer finished, God knew his heart. And God had told the great fish, the whale, head for the shore. Amazing, isn't it? And the great fish, the whale's heading for the shallow ground. And when given the instruction, the fish vomits Jonah out. I wonder what way he come out. Maybe he come out like a stone out of a catapult. Maybe the fish came. Maybe he opened his mouth and Jonah come tumbling out. Up the beach, 20 or 30 foot maybe, on his mouth and nose before he stopped. I hope he took a shower. And I hope he changed his clothes. And he heads for Nineveh. Verse 3. The word of the Lord comes a second time. He says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. I want you to notice three things as we move on quickly as we're heading for the finish here. I want you to think about a new mission, because God had stopped this man in his tracks. He had locked him in, and now here's a new mission for him. Well, it's the old mission. He'd have been safer doing it in the first place. But anyway, he's heading this time. And he's heading for Nineveh to preach. And people of Lurgan Baptist Church this morning, God perhaps has prepared people's hearts coming out of lockdown. I believe that people's hearts are softer than ever they were. I have had conversations with people, Protestants and Catholics both, in the days and weeks that are past, about the goings on and things that have happened. People that I am really surprised at. People who have told me before that they were atheists and that they didn't believe in God are now talking about God. And I think that over social media and online ministry in the days that are past has been amazing. And oftentimes from platforms, we blast social media and so on, and well, maybe it needs it at times, but I do think in the days that are past, and with social media, with Facebook and different WhatsApp clips and so on, and these things are circulating time after time after time, thousands and thousands of hits. God is using them. And perhaps we're just, like Jonah and I, we're heading into a new mission field now. Ah, no, the message doesn't change. Of course it doesn't. The great old story of the gospel of Jesus and his love, it'll never change. The gospel, the message doesn't change, but maybe the method might change. Maybe we need to rethink things a wee bit. Maybe we need to just be a wee bit smarter. The technology that we have. We live in a technical age. I'm thinking about a good friend of mine, Clara Wilson. She's Brian Cossey's daughter. Brian comes here, and on a Sunday morning, you can get her clip. She lives in McGabbery somewhere, and she goes out at 10:30 or 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. She sets the makeup. She's a beautiful voice. And she sings a hymn, and her neighbours all come out. Unsafe neighbours all come out. Nurse is singing, "How great thou art, how deep the Father's love for us," and so on. And they all stand and they clap and they cheer. But God uses them. God can take the line of a hymn just to play it to somebody's heart now. Conviction of sin could come. Salvation is of the Lord. After all, as Jonah learned, we have a new mission. He has a new mandate. Of course, mandate means official order. And Jonah now has a new mandate. And I wonder, will we take God's mandate up today when we think of the mandate that our Saviour had? The cross and Calvary, he sent his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. I was enjoying that verse the other day. He set his face as a flint. Flint is the hardest rock you can get. You hear the old saying, it's as hard as flint. Well, when the rock is as hard as flint, it's so hard that when the flint meets the flint, it's so hard that actually it gives off a spark. And such was the determination of our Saviour. He set his face as a flint. When you set your face as a flint to do something, you're expecting opposition. And you're expecting difficulty. But it's always worthwhile when you consider your end goal. You know, I'm glad my Saviour set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. I'm glad he went the way of the cross. I'm glad he suffered and bled and died on the cross for me. How apt Paul was when he said this. He said if it hadn't happened, he said you'd have been just miserable men. And people in our world and in Lurgan and in County Armagh are miserable because they have no hope. And yet we have a message that brings hope and peace and lasting joy, and is found in the person and the work of Calvary. I wonder as lockdown finishes, as we move into a new era, business is going to be different, isn't it? And there's going to be very few planes flying in the sky for a long time. And the financial institutions tells us that there probably will be a recession that we've never have seen the like of before. I wonder what our mandate's going to be now. It's a new world as we come out of lockdown. I wonder will our motive be to follow and serve and love our Saviour more day by day. The mission, the mandate, the movement. This man, he heads into Nineveh. Look at his preaching. He says, he walking through the city, he didn't put any bones in it. He was walking through the city and he begins to shout, he cries, 40 days, the Nineveh will be overthrown. If you do not in the Lake of Lurgan, that you'd end up in the barracks. But here's no fear. And he's walking through Nineveh and he's shouting at the top of his voice, 40 days, no more. Nineveh's going to be overthrown. You're all going to perish. And the Lord moved. I wonder if the Lord began to move. You see, God's hand is in the glove of history. Well, thank Dennis Lyle for it as well. God's hand is always in the glove of history. History is his story. I read the other day, it was actually in a WhatsApp clip, about the early 1900s in that Isle of Lewis off the coast of Scotland. How those two old ladies, one was 86, the other was 82, and they were confined to a house, they were locked in. One was blind, the other one had a cancerous disease in her spine, and so she was unable to move almost. And yet those two old dears began to pray, and such was the burden of the island of Lewis that those two ladies prayed morn, noon and night. And soon the infection spread, and many came to that home to pray. And they prayed that God would move, and there was a man by the name of Duncan Campbell, the preacher, and he came to see them, and they asked him this question: "Mr. Campbell, are you right with God? We believe that God's going to move, and we don't need anything to hinder the blessing. Are you right with God?" He said, "I am." And they prayed, and they prayed, and the fire of God struck. And the Spirit of God moved on that little island, and almost everyone was converted to Christ. Conviction of sin. Remember how it spread across the Irish Sea, even to this little province so favoured, Kells and Connor and so on, and Ballymena, and places like that in those days. There was a boy saved very early at that particular time, and his name was Donald Smith. And Duncan Campbell and Donald Smith were very friendly. This young boy showed great potential for God and for the things of God, and Duncan Campbell allowed him to take part in his services, to pray and so on. And the revival spread, and God blessed. And there was a young girl, her name was Mary Ann Smith, and she moved, she was on the island, she was a cousin of young Donald Smith, and she moved, she's on the island, but she moved to America, and she married a man called Frank McLeod in 1936, and so her name became Mary Ann Smith McLeod. And as a wedding present, those old ladies sent a Bible that Duncan Campbell had used the whole way to America to Mary Ann Smith McLeod to have on the day of her wedding. And so the Bible left Scotland and it went to America. And Fred and Mary Ann ended up having four children. The oldest one was called Fred after his dad. The next was a girl, her name was Mary, after her mum. The next was a girl, her name was Elizabeth, and the youngest was a boy called Donald, who was named after Donald Smith, Mary's cousin away back in Scotland. That young boy, Donald, is now the 45th president of the United States. And that Bible that left the Isle of Lewis now is in Washington, D.C. Now, I know there's been controversy in the days that are past and so on, but the point I'm making is that God can take a Bible out of a revival and over 100 years later have it in the president's office in America is amazing. God's hand is in the glove of history. History is his story. And what about coming out of lockdown as we finish this morning? What if God were to open the windows of heaven? And what if our prayer as we come out of lockdown this morning is, Lord, revive us again. Revive us again. Make your mighty arm bare in salvation. Come, Holy Spirit, and convict boys and girls and men and women of their sin, and save our loved ones and our homes and our houses, and restore the years that the locusts have eaten, those wasted years, and create in us clean hearts, and help us to ascend into the hill of the Lord. Make us vessels fit for the Master's use. People of Rurgan Poplins, and further afield, could we be a light in the darkness of this scene? In our town, in our community, will we realize salvations of the Lord and no one else? I wonder, as we finish, are you one of the 9% that want things to go back the way they were? Are you one of the 91% that want things to change? May God give us a new motive. a new method and a new mandate as we come out of lockdown. May God bless his word to our hearts. Our God and Father, we thank thee just now for your word. We pray that you would write it upon our hearts, O God. We pray that the things of self would leave, and the things of yourself, O God, and that you would use them and speak to us, Lord, and individuals. May each of us be like Jonah. May we come out of lockdown with a new motive and mandate just to serve God more, day by day. Lord, fill our hearts with passion and fill our hearts with fire, O God, for loved ones and friends that are still out of Christ. Give us a burden, O God. Give us a burden for the things of God, for your word, for a time of prayer, for the Lord's table, and all those things, Lord. May we just want change this morning. May you give us a fresh zeal and enthusiasm to give all and put all on the altar for God. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.